Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
There's more important things at play here. And the Palestinian people who are being murdered and dehomed and everything below murder are the loser in this.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, the Ireland-Israel row rumbles on after FAI CEO David Carrell says Ireland must fulfil their fixtures. We look back at last night's Champions League action, which saw PSG, Real Madrid, Atalanta and Galatasaray advance to the last 16. Tonight, Celtic and Nottingham Forest have Europa League games, and Richie Towell gives his insight on his former teammate and current Chelsea boss, Liam Rossignol. But first up, FAI CEO David Carrell joined Owen Sheehan on last night's Off the Ball to talk about the Ireland-Israel game and the controversy surrounding last week's loud derby between Dundalk and Drogheda. The FAI says they have to fulfil the fixtures with Israel despite clamour calling for a boycott. Carrell says they have to do what's best for Irish football.
So we have to look at this through the prism of what's right for Irish football. And I know that's very difficult for some people to comprehend given the gravity of the situation in Gaza. But be it the board or the executive are tasked with safeguarding the future of Irish football. And the reality of forfeiting two games will result in an immediate sporting impact for not only the men's national team but broader association in the form of a 6-point deduction. We're playing in the Nations League B. Israel are our closest seed in the group. We would slide down the group ranking. We would find ourselves potentially competing to stay in B. Every likelihood we could slip into C. Our Nations League position at the end is a key defining factor for the seeding for Euro 2028 qualification. So if you look at it purely on the basis of sporting merit of fulfilling these fixtures, it is pretty significant impact for the team and the association if we don't proceed, and therefore we will be.
And after last week's flare incident at Oriel Park and the subsequent fallout, Carrell says the incidents should never happen.
First of all, best wishes to the young child that was impacted. Thankfully, no lasting damage, but the reality is it should never have happened. I think the actions that unfolded on Friday night by a minority of our supporter base was unacceptable. Just fundamentally deplorable to put someone at risk in that manner, to intentionally damage a brand new facility that, you know, Irish football has campaigned for so long to get increased investment into facilities, and this is the thanks we show. That is not how the association, the league, or our Irish football community should behave or want to behave. And again, it's a small minority that are having an impact on the broader picture. I think the minister has rightly called out this poor behaviour. It is a challenge that we are contending with, and we welcome the opportunity to work with him and also Department of Justice on, you know, what we, the FAI, the League of Ireland, can do to further mitigate these situations, but also what can we do in collaboration about potential legislation or changes that could improve the situation, not only for the league, but also other sports. It's not exclusively an issue for football.
In the aftermath of events last Friday, Minister for Sport Patrick O'Donovan paused all funding for League of Ireland artificial surfaces across the entire league as a collective punishment, something Charlie McConnellogue, junior minister, was pressed on by Owen last night on the show.
Was the response from the minister disproportionate this week?
Oh, listen, I mean, I think his response was very much coming from the position of ensuring that this isn't repeated. But certainly, I don't believe myself in collective punishment. I think we have to come down like a ton of bricks on what happened and make sure that that is something that continues. But also, we have to recognise good behaviour and ensure that we don't collectively punish other clubs who are acting responsibly and fans who are acting responsibly.
Why didn't he consult with you before making the decision?
Oh, well, listen, I mean, this was a decision Minister Donovan made himself. It's not normally it's much better to engage and come to a collective position on this. But I think we're all very much at one in relation to the objective here, which is ensuring that this is stamped out, that this doesn't happen, and that a very strict approach is taken in relation to making sure it doesn't happen again.
Is that policy at the Department of Sport, that the minister himself has the keys to the car, essentially, on this, that he can make a unilateral decision and the Minister of State for Sport, with the responsibility for sport, which is you, doesn't get consulted on the matter at all, never mind all the other stakeholders?
Well, the norm certainly, and it's always and normally the case that you would have good collaboration in terms of decision, and I think that makes for good decision making as well. In this instance, this is a decision the minister took himself and announced in advance of consulting with myself. We would have different views in relation to the collective punishment aspect of this, but I think we're all at one in relation to the objective of making sure that this isn't repeated, that a very strong approach is taken to it, and I think we will, working with the FAI, make sure in the next number of days we get to a situation where it is those who've carried out this and are responsible for this that actually are punished.
And if you want to listen to either interview back in full, you can do so now in your OTB football podcast feed for free. The PFAI, the body that represents the players in the League of Ireland, surveyed their members and asked if they should play the games against Israel. 63% of the members said they shouldn't. PFAI chairperson and Shamrock Rovers captain Roberto Lopez says he just wants the players' voices heard.
Look, I suppose just from the union's point of view, like, we think it was important that, like, we had our voice in there. Like, we are one of the stakeholders among many important stakeholders in Irish football. Like, so I think it's important that our voice was heard. We've seen the view of our union, the players in the League of Ireland, and the majority is in favour of not playing the game. And we just hope the conversations around the continuum, and all the FAI have come out, and they're going to read the position that we understand that. But I think there's still the only conversation about that. I still think there's more to be done as a whole for Irish football. And yeah, I think we need to listen to all the parties and all the stakeholders as well.
This week, our live commentary game comes from Daly Mount Park as Bohemians begin their last season in their home ground with a match against old rivals Shamrock Rovers. Kickoff is 8 o'clock on Friday. Jonathan Higgins will be joined by Vinnie Perth in the commentary box for that one. Build-up will start and Off the Ball on News Talk and the Go Loud app from 7 o'clock. Now, Stephen Doyle was joined as ever by Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn on this week's version of the LOI pod. And with the sticky start for Derry City, the three lads talked about what's the best role for James McLean in Tiernan Lynch's side.
I saw James McLean towards the end. Like, there's a couple of times he got caught for pace with Dawson Devoy in the middle of the field. But right at the end of the game, they're pushing for a goal and he's down at the edge of his own box and he got pickpocketed twice just because he didn't have that kind of centre mid awareness. You're kind of thinking, like, is going from Diallo in centre midfield to James McLean in midfield actually a downgrade?
Look, the easiest thing
I'm not sorry. That's not me having a pop at James McLean. That's me saying that he's in the wrong position, that he should be playing on the left because he'd give you so much more.
Well, it's easy for me to say, for argument's sake, slag off James now for a bit of clickbait or go the other way and say he's brilliant. It's not the point is not about James McLean. It's about a manager picking the right players, the right squad, the right team. And he's in control of that now. I take Gareth's point about director of football will help him. But he's put that squad together. And I make the point again. Do you need James McLean? Or do you say, no, I don't need him at the moment. Yes, he'd be amazing to have in the squad. Until I sort out my right back position, my right wing position, my right sided centre half position. That's not the most important one for today.
Well, do you know something though, Vinny, as well? I would argue that if your Derry City and James McLean becomes available and he's coming back to play for his home, you have to sign him. Like, that's a no-brainer.
You don't have to sign him. I'm sorry. You've got Fleming and Michael Duffy. There's a reason James isn't playing.
Well, play him as a left back then. Maybe they didn't need Fleming and have him and Fleming.
He was there. There's a reason why James is not playing left back or left wing. Because they feel, not because he's better midfielder than anybody else they had in the club, because they feel Fleming and Duffy is obviously more of a threat. And so then but my moving Michael to the right allows you to fit in James. What do you lose by moving Michael to the right? So James wasn't the most important signing for them. And everything, I take the point when a fellow like that comes past your door, grand, but they've made mistakes as a club, if you want to say, in the recruitment, and it's come back to bite them in the ass. They may still turn all this around, get the right players in the pitch, all of them things, but they've made mistakes and it's like kids in a candy shop. James McLean available, I'll get him. Structure your team first.
If you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now for free in your OTB football podcast feed.
On this week's episode of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors, centres on how Mikey Johnson could have swapped the English Midlands for The beaches of Rio de Janeiro. Yes, Republic of Ireland winger Mikey Johnson was on the verge of a move to one of the biggest clubs in Brazil in Flamengo. But why did it fall by the wayside? Find out in this week's episode of Sliding Doors, coming to you free each and every Monday. Subscribe in your OTB football podcast feed to not miss an episode of Rishi McCormick's Sliding Doors.
Now to events last night in Europe, and Juventus nearly pulled off one of the great comebacks against Galatasaray in Turin in the Champions League. Juve, who had Lloyd Kelly sent off in the second half, trailed the Turkish side 5-2 from the first leg, but equalised on the night thanks to goals from Manuel Locatelli, Federico Gatti and Weston McKennie. However, Luciano Spalletti's side ran out of legs in extra time. Goals from Victor Osimhen and Yilmaz gave Gala a 7-5 aggregate win to set up a last 16 showdown with either Liverpool or Tottenham. Holders PSG scraped past fellow French side Monaco, finished 2-2 on the night in Paris. Luis Enrique's side won the tie 5-4 on aggregate, so PSG can face either Barcelona or Chelsea in the next round. Real Madrid dumped out Benfica thanks to a 2-1 win at the Bernabeu. Vinicius Jr. scored the crucial goal 1 week on from being the victim of an alleged racial slur by a Benfica player. Real will play either Sporting or Manchester City next. Atalanta came from 2-0 down to save face for Italian sides in Europe. Goals from Gianluca Scamacca, Davide Zabacosta and Mario Pasalic had put the home side 3-0 up on the night. But substitute Karim Adeyemi levelled the tie for the German side. But there was late drama in Bergamo. Atalanta were awarded a penalty in injury time. Lazar Samardzic scored emphatically to dump the 2024 finalists out of the competition. Atalanta will face either Arsenal or Bayern Munich next. The draw takes place tomorrow morning. We'll have all the details on tomorrow's Football Daily. Celtic boss Martin O'Neill says he won't put out a weakened team against Stuttgart tonight, despite saying that he'll make changes. They're 4-1 down from the first leg of their Europa League playoff, and they have a game against Rangers at Ibrox this weekend. That doesn't mean O'Neill is writing off tonight's match, though.
We're looking forward to the game, and I think that we've got some travelling fans coming here who've spent some money, and therefore we owe it to them.
Nottingham Forest boss Vitor Pereira has told his players to approach tonight's Europa League playoff second leg against Fenerbahce as if it's still all square. Forest are 3-0 up from the first leg in Istanbul. Pereira says they have to be careful.
The worst mistake that we can commit is to think that tomorrow will be a easy game. I know the mentality of them, of this club, of the... They come here believing that they can do it.
Elsewhere in the Europa League, Robbie Keane's Ferencváros trail Ludogorets from Bulgaria 2-1. The second leg is in Budapest and it kicks off at 5:45. In the Conference League, Troy Parrott will want to keep his goal-scoring form going when his AZ Alkmaar side go up against Armenian side FC Noah in the Netherlands. AZ are 1-0 down from the first leg. Crystal Palace manager Oliver Glasner says it makes no sense to put all his focus into one competition. They're at home to Bosnian side Zrinjski in the Conference League playoff second leg. It's 1-1 from the first leg in Mostar. Despite a poor run of form, Glasner says they're well positioned in the Premier League as well as in Europe.
We are still, as said before, it's the second best amount of points ever. So it looks like we're playing an incredible well Premier League season regarding the points. We have the European competitions.
And on last night's football show, Richie Tell joined Owen and spoke of the days when he played alongside Chelsea manager Liam Rossini.
You played with Rossini. Good lad by all accounts.
Absolute legend.
Yeah.
Honestly, can't speak highly enough of Liam. He's a real salt of the earth person and loves his football, Owen. Honestly, he's obviously known him personally. People think he's probably a bit of an extrovert, and you see some of the comments on social media. I know I had a bit of a chuckle at some of them as well, I did. But I know him, and he's not like that at all. He's not. He's really, really down to earth fella, really hard working, and he knows his football. I think you can see already the transformation in Chelsea since he's gone in there. I think he's done a brilliant job, and I think you see even the players, how much they've bought into him, and and what he wants to do with the football team and with the club as well, because I'm sure the club are going to back him heavily. But yeah, look, he's a really good person. He's a good manager. He loves his football. And I think he's going to do great there.
The ribbing of him was an interesting little kind of chapter in this. I don't think it's going to stop until he's got like a period of prolonged
success. Till he wins the Premier League.
How do you think he would have taken that?
That's what, like, obviously we're sharing his dressing room with Rosie. He would have taken that on the chin, no problem at all. I think some managers would have affected with the amount of it that he got, but obviously, as I said, when I shared the dressing room, especially here at Brighton dressing room, the stick used to be flying around, like, constantly. It did. He was always in the thick of it.
Giving it out as well as taking it.
Exactly, yeah. He was well able to give it out, and he was well able to take it. He used to laugh off. Nothing was ever personal with him. And you can see that in his management side as well. I think he's even came out and said that, look, he had a little laugh at some of the comments. He has young daughters as well, he does. That are obviously at an age where they're all on social media, so I'm sure they're going up to them and saying, here, look at this one.
And
as I said, he'll take on the chin, not a problem to him.
That chat is available to listen back to in full in your OTB football podcast feed. We'll have commentary of Chelsea's next game as well this Sunday when they take on Arsenal at the Emirates. Stephen Doyle will be joined by Keith Tracy, and to kick things off on Sunday, we'll have Manchester United's clash with Crystal Palace at Old Trafford, where I'll be alongside Brian Kerr. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.